This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Plenty of border talk tonight. This impeachment nonsense, scandal at the RNC. What an incredible show tonight. And I'm right. All right, let's put a bow on this failed impeachment of Mayorkas yesterday. I've had a day to think about it. And do keep in mind, we might actually get an impeachment next week. We might get an impeachment next week. Steve Scalise was out getting cancer treatments, obviously understandable. One guy, Blake Moore, voted no yesterday, but the rumor is he voted no in a way that allowed us to have another vote next week. So he may have been helping us, saving us. But why does it matter to impeach Mayorkas at all? Let's talk about that. Why does this matter? Because, let's be honest, tangibly, what do we gain? If we get rid of that bald communist who's intentionally flooding the country with illegals, who's going to replace him? Another communist. Another open borders communist who's going to do all the same things that Mayorkas is doing. So why does it matter then? If we just get rid of one commie and we get another commie, what does it matter? Well, listen. This part gets extremely uncomfortable for many people on the right. And maybe it makes you uncomfortable, but we have to talk about this. We have to be honest about where we are. You have to hit back when you're hit. I know in this feminized America with anti-bullying programs that every child is taught to go through a 10-step program where you tell your mommy and what. In real life, you have to hit back. If somebody hits you, you have to hit back. In fact, you have to hit back even harder. You have to make them feel pain or they'll keep hitting you. The bully keeps taking your lunch money until you sock him in the nose one day. While Donald Trump was president, Democrats in this country conducted themselves like nothing I have ever seen before in my life. Impeachment was a huge deal. Before Donald Trump took over as president, they then impeached him twice over nothing. He was completely kneecapped from within his own State Department, his own military. The media went all in, even in ways we'd never seen before. They decided that there were no more rules, that it was just blind rage at any cost. Okay. what are we going to do to make sure they don't do that again? Because I promise you this, cross my heart and hope to die, I promise you these people are not going to stop once Donald Trump is gone. It had nothing to do with Trump. This is who they are now. We have to make sure they know the pain will come back the other way. If they don't know that, they'll never stop. So why impeach Mayorkas? Because it's embarrassing. It's an election year. It's humiliating. If you impeach Mayorkas, he then has to go through a trial in the Senate to decide whether or not he can be removed. He, of course, won't be removed because Democrats have a majority, but he's going to sit in front of these seasoned lawyers in the Senate and be interrogated about things under oath. It's devastating. It's humiliating for Joe Biden. It's humiliating for Mayorkas. We have to impeach Mayorkas because it will hurt. And saying things that way makes so many people on the right uncomfortable. I am sorry to be the bearer of bad news. You cannot win. We can never take this country back without them feeling pain. There's no polite way to do this. We have to impeach them. Frankly, Joe Biden should have been impeached with the very first vote after the GOP took back the House of Representatives. And frankly, he should have been impeached every few months. Jesse, that's ridiculous. Yes, it's ridiculous. It's over the top. I hate that we're here, but we're here. So why did this impeachment vote fail yesterday? Well, the low-T GOP. All it took was a few defectors. Now, understand, there are different reasons people defect, and you're never going to know specifically. No one's going to confess on camera why they defected. But let's talk about some things, some theories that I have. And no, I don't feel bad bringing this up at all. Blackmail in politics, it's not just something you watch on that series on Netflix. It's the entire history of politics, not just in America, the history of the world. I believe, and I have believed for some time, that Congressman Ken Buck, he's one of the ones who voted against impeachment yesterday, I believe he is, this is a total theory, I don't have any evidence backing this up, I believe he's been compromised in some way. What way? I don't know. I don't have any idea. I don't know what it may be. Cheats on his taxes. I don't know. Someone got some bad pictures of him somewhere. I don't know. But I've thought this ever since I saw him interrogate Christopher Wray. And before I play that for you, I want to remind you of something before I play you this clip. Congress sits over top of the FBI. The FBI is underneath Congress. Congress has oversight authority over the FBI. So when the director of the FBI has to come sit in front of Congress and answer some very difficult questions about SWAT teams arresting pro-lifers, about all the evil things the FBI has done, sending informants into your church. When the FBI director has to come answer questions, he is most definitely supposed to be the underling, nervous, scared. I want you to watch this little exchange between Ken Buck and Christopher Wray. Why do I think Ken Buck is compromised? After you watch this video clip, or as you watch this video clip, ask yourself, who looks like the subservient one here?
I want to thank you for leading an agency, as you mentioned in your opening statement, that protects Americans from foreign terrorists, that an agency that protects Americans from spies from China and Russia, and cybercrime and public corruption and organized crime and drug cartels and human traffickers and white-collar criminals. And I want to thank you and the FBI for protecting law-abiding Americans from the evil that exists all around us. And frankly, I am not in favor of defunding the FBI, nor am I in favor of splitting up the FBI, nor am I in favor of using the Holman rule for the FBI director.
That's Ken Buck. He was a member, is a member of the Freedom Caucus. Shoot, we've had him on this show years ago. He'll obviously never be back. I don't think he would accept even if we asked. Now, licking the boots of the FBI director, I believe he's compromised. And that's how things work in Washington, D.C. And it also, they trade favors. I owe Heritage Foundation all the credit in the world for this one. Mike Gallagher is another one of these losers who voted no on impeachment. Mike Gallagher just, he sent a letter 2 weeks ago to Alejandro Mayorkas asking for, and I quote, help with textile imports. Mayorkas, in turn, helps Gallagher. Mayorkas comes up for impeachment. He very clearly deserves to be impeached. Gallagher gets up and says, no, I can't do it, And look, some of it's just no guts. And this is what drives me crazy about conservatism, what conservatism has been for most of my life. This is why I'm an anti-communist. I'm not a Republican. I don't call myself a conservative. Conservatism for all my life has been people in power handing us a list of reasons why they can't do anything to fight back, why they won't fight back against the communists. Almost always, they will reference the Constitution or the founders, not as the wonderful document that limited the size of government. It's always handed to us as a big universal get out of jail free card excuse by these GOPers for why they can't help us out. Tom McClintock voted against impeachment yesterday. Listen to Tom McClintock with Mike Slater.
Mayorkas is guilty of maladministration, neglect of duties, malfeasance in office, but these are not impeachable offenses. And we know that because the American founders specifically rejected them at the Constitutional Convention. And the reason was they didn't want impeachment twisted into a weapon for political grievances. Well, then the next time the Democrats have the majority, I think we can expect this definition to be turned against the conservatives on the Supreme Court and any future Republican administration. And there will be nobody there to stop them, because Republicans have then signed off on this new and unconstitutional definition of impeachment.
There's already a new definition of impeachment. They already did impeachment twice, completely ridiculous. It doesn't matter what you say now, you worthless sissy loser. They are going to use impeachment from now to the end of time. They made that choice. You didn't. You don't want to fight back because you don't have any balls. And it makes me freaking sick. I am so sick of being handed the Constitution as a reason why you won't do anything, you dorks. I will say this, though, as we finish this up on great, on better news. You remember when I said this about James Lankford? It's important that Senator Lankford have his entire professional life destroyed. You know why it's important? It's not just because of the unending amounts of malice I have in my heart towards cowardice like that. It's important that the other GOP senators see Lankford destroyed. They must look at what happens when you betray us like this, and they must be afraid of us. So, Oklahoma, it's time to giddy up. It's time to get a real primary going. It's time to run James Lankford out of GOP politics so every other flat-in-the-front senator like him looks on in horror as his career goes down the tubes and worries for themselves. It is time to come for James Lankford. Senator, now it's on. Well, he may be a useless idiot, but he has wonderful taste in television. Here's the senator today.
In fact, I had a popular commentator 4 weeks ago that I talked to that told me flat out, before they knew any of the contents of the bill, any of the content, nothing was out at that point, that told me flat out, if you try to move a bill that solves the border crisis during this presidential year, I will do whatever I can to destroy you.
You have wonderful taste, Senator. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. And it wasn't 4 weeks ago. Quit telling lies. All right. Now, we have a huge show for you. Let's do this. Let's clean up your liver. I need to clean up mine. We all need to clean up our livers. Our livers are our body's filtration system. You want to feel better, more energy, longer life? You got to clean up your liver. You change your air conditioning filters, but we never do anything for our liver. That's what Liver Health Formula is all about. For one, this is most important, it is drug-free. This is all natural, an all-natural way to get that liver cleaned out and spotless. Go get some. If you go right now to getliverhelp.com/Jesse, you get a free bottle of omega-3s to go with it as well. So have a better liver and a better heart. Getliverhelp.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every day between now and November, the American people are going to know that the only reason the border is not secure is Donald Trump and his MAGA Republican friends. Now, it doesn't address everything that I wanted. For example, we still need a path of documentation for those who are already here. And we're not walking away from true immigration reform, including permanent protections and a pathway to citizenship for young dreamers who came here when they were children.
Yeah. Joining me now is Senator Ron Johnson from the state of Wisconsin. Senator, honestly, I know you've been in politics a while and you're in the United States Senate, so you really, really understand how this goes. These people just lie about everything all the time. Everyone knows they want the border open. Everyone can see this. And they just lie with such ease. Does it get old?
Well, the problem is these people include most people in the mainstream press who are advocates for their radical left positions, for their open border positions. So yeah, it's not a level playing field. It's not a fair fight. But it is... you know, enormously frustrating. And then it's even more enormously frustrating when you have somebody like Leader McConnell who is willing to play right into their hands. You know, we've taken a subject that the vast majority of American publics agree with us on. They want a secure border. And we entered a process of secret negotiations with Democrats in the Senate and the administration, people who want an open border, that caused the problem, that we gave them secret negotiations, gave them political cover, And now we're getting blamed for this. And of course, you know, I think it's lame, but the mainstream press will pick up exactly with what Biden's saying here, and they will blame us as well. So the only way we can get ourselves out of this box canyon that McConnell led us into is we need to keep this debate alive. As we just came from Senate lunch arguing that we needed to defeat both cloture votes on the supplemental package that include the border security and then the clean supplemental. And we need to do everything we can to secure the border. And the way we start, and this should have happened 3 months ago, is just lay out the obvious that President Trump had enough authority given to him by law, in law, to secure the border. President Biden had that same authority that he used to reverse President Biden's or President Trump's secure border. I mean, he opened up the border. He wants an open border. He caused this. And also point out the fact that if a Democrat president really wants to secure the border, we'll do everything we can to help him. I mean, if there are, he's already got the authority, we'll support that. We're not going to challenge him in court like leftist open border types challenge President Trump. If somebody does successfully challenge him, we're happy to write the legislation to override that wrongful court decision. So again, it's not a fair fight. A Democrat president could easily secure the border. It was more challenging for Trump, but he still did it under existing law. We didn't need this Rube Goldberg piece of legislation that codified a lot of President Biden's open border policies, normalized thousands of illegal immigrants a year, spent billions to stand up enough Customs Border Patrol agents to handle thousands of people a day, funded sanctuary cities, which is just going to be a more effective draw for more illegal immigration. Again, this bill was so awful. That's the reason it went down in flames in under 24 hours. But yet you've got Leader McConnell saying, oh, it's a great bill. The only reason it didn't pass is because of President Trump and these, you know, he's basically, you know, he's using Democrat talking points and it's infuriating.
Senator, are there moderate Democrats when it comes to illegal immigration? I understand that nobody can come out and be a moderate Democrat when it comes to illegal immigration publicly. Now, I understand that they all have to be a bunch of open borders, nut jobs in front of the camera. But and I'm not asking you to name names. Tell me there is one or two Democrats when the cameras are off who say, hey, Senator, man, this is crazy letting all these people in. Please tell me there's one.
Well, not necessarily when the cameras are off. I mean, that's a given. When they're up for re-election. Okay. We have repeatedly had votes to just complete the wall that we had bought and paid for under Trump that was costing us more not to build than to complete it. And so we had amendment votes in committee and on the floor. Every Democrat, I think, except for Joe Manchin, always voted against completing that wall. That tells you an awful lot.
It does. Speaking of Mitch McConnell and needing to go, you were part of this press conference here. Here was Ted Cruz.
Is it time for Mitch McConnell to go?
I think it is. Look, everyone here also supported a leadership challenge to Mitch McConnell in November.
Senator, that's quite a thing. What happened to Mitch McConnell's power? Because he's had a lot of it for a very long time. You being willing to put your name, face on it, Senator Cruz, others, that's quite a sea change. What happened?
Well, I would say there's a growing number of colleagues that are getting a little tired of Mitch's strategy, always trying to find, you know, 9 or 10 of us to join with Democrats to pass the Democrat priorities. I mean, he's very skilled at doing that. What he's failed to do is unify Republicans and divide the Democrats to enact good policy for the American public. During his leadership, he became leader, I think, in 2007 when the debt was below $10 trillion. Now it's approaching $35 trillion, and there's been one constant during all those years, one individual who's been in every debt ceiling negotiation, budget negotiation, appropriations negotiation, that's Mitch McConnell. That's not a record of effective center-right leadership. That's a example of total an abject failure when it comes to fiscal conservatism.
Okay, assuming he's on his last legs as leading the Senate GOP, I have a great deal of concern over which loser would replace him, because that's generally who ends up in leadership. I'm not going to name names, not going to put you in an awkward spot. Is there a chance we get a good one, that we really need a good one? Why isn't Ron Johnson going to be the leader of the GOP in the Senate?
Well, first of all, I'd prefer not to. It's not an easy task. I mean, it's herding cats, but you know, Rick Scott was willing to, and Rick Scott has an amazing life and resume. He's done a lot of great things, really set Ron DeSantis up for success as governor of Florida before Ron DeSantis, built the largest hospital group in the world, rose out of nothing. I mean, I think with a single mom, the guy's got an incredible story. And what I've seen him as a senator, I mean, he is just relentless. The Energizer buddy, he's the one that hosts weekly dinners with House conservatives. It's why we got past the debt ceiling. Now, unfortunately, McCarthy, very McConnell-like, didn't negotiate $1.5 trillion using the leverage those conservatives gave him. He suspended the debt ceiling to tune about $4 trillion, which frittered away about $2.5 trillion worth of leverage, where we could have used it for other things like the RAINS Act or you know, other conservative types of things. So that's the problem with Republican leadership in the past. They've never even sought leverage in these negotiations. They've just gone along. And like I said, in Leader McConnell's case, he's just been expert at getting just enough Republicans afraid of a shutdown or whatever, happy to spend money, earmark, to join with Democrats to pass their priorities. And again, I've been sick of it for quite some time. I think a growing number of colleagues are starting to understand that. And I think this border negotiation, the secret border negotiation that, again, we should be on the right side here. Nobody should be blaming us. This is completely Biden and his Democrat colleagues in the Congress's fault. The fact that the leader maneuvered us in a position where Democrats and the media are blaming us for the open border, I mean, this is beyond absurd.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yes, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is. Senator, go get him. I appreciate it. I'm glad you're speaking out about it. All right. Speaking of internal GOP matters, Ronna McDaniel, head of the RNC, looks like her time is coming to an end. Looks like she's going to kind of be forced to resign. The woman who broke the story on all the extravagant spending and scandalous stuff going on at the RNC is Jennifer VanLaar, and she's going to join us and talk about that, what's happening there, what's happening at the DNC. She's going to do all that. We're going to do all that next. Before we do that, you just heard what Senator Johnson said. Hearing him say it like that hurt. I knew the numbers, but it hurt. From $10 trillion in debt to $34 trillion in debt. Gosh, that's fast, isn't it? Our dollar's in some trouble. Are you taking steps to protect yourself? It's really important that you take steps to protect yourself. Oxford Gold Group is the only way to do it. Without hard assets, there's nothing else you can rely on because the government can destroy it all. You see what they're doing to the dollar? You didn't do that, they did that. Oxford Gold will get gold coins or silver coins in your hands. They'll mail it to your house, totally anonymous, totally insured. You don't need a bank vault. It's not bank vault. It's not gold bars. Call them and let them take care of you. They'll take good care of you. These are wonderful people, all right? 833-995-GOLD. Tell them I told you to call. They will take special care of you, all right? We'll be back.
When I looked into how the RNC is spending donor money, is that over $3 million since 2017 were spent on private jets. That's in addition to the commercial flights that probably the lower rung staffers have to take to where they're going. $750,000 on floral arrangements. And these are not flowers for events or fundraisers. If you're a staffer, a senior staffer, you get to go to things like a Raiders game and a private box paid for by RNC donors, or a retreat at the Salamander Resort and Spa that's about $1,000 a night just for the room. $43,000 at Top Golf, $13,000 for shows like The Lion King on Broadway. Insane amounts of spending, and $17 million on donor mementos.
Oof. I will say this, though. I love Top Golf. I don't know the last time you went to a Top Golf, but they actually have these nachos now with this kind of chimichurri sauce on them and a little queso or something. It's fantastic. I'd prefer the RNC didn't use our money there, but either way, Topgolf is fantastic. Joining me now, the lady who broke this story, bringing down apparently Ronna McDaniel, Jennifer VanLaar, managing editor, redstate.com. Jennifer, where did you learn this journalism thing?
Interestingly, I worked in the criminal court system before I was a journalist. And when you sit through the 30 plus murder trials, you watch how detectives build a case.
Well, that would explain this. Now, okay, first of all, what got you to dig into this? Were you just angry one day at the RNC? This is a big moment right now, exposing this kind of, I would just call it naked corruption, but exposing this stuff. What prompted you to dig into it to begin with?
To begin with, I was given a report that had been prepared by a background search firm that just did the expenses in the 2020 election cycle, what the RNC had spent, and showed a lot of amounts on the limos and the flowers and the private jets. And I thought, you know, I should go look at Ronna McDaniel's entire tenure. So at that time, December 2022, I went through all of that, the whole since 2017. So then this year, fast forward to November, we've heard all year how fundraising is down at the RNC. They have this cash crunch. And I thought, you know, they had to have not kept up the spending after last year. They had to have learned their lesson, but I'm just going to double check. And then I looked and I saw the continued spending. She only spent $70,000 on private jets from October 22 till November of 23. But there were still $300,000 of limos, $125,000 of non-essential office supplies, a bunch of money for restaurants around D.C. and $70,000 in flowers in 13 months, $87,000 a month in management consulting, which was really just contracts to her cronies.
Jennifer, okay, let's pause on this before we go any further down the timeline. I'm sorry, I know it's a stupid question, but the flower number keeps flooring me. It floored me last time you came on, last or 2 years ago, to break this. It floors me now. I realize I'm a dude in a Neanderthal, so I'm not that knowledgeable about flowers. $70,000 doesn't seem real. What are they?
I'm wondering, too, because occasionally I'll order from a high-end flower shop just to treat myself to some roses or something, and I might spend $100 on a really, really nice bouquet delivered to my house. So $70,000, I'm wondering, what is that per day? I didn't break it down, but it's crazy. And there's also another $45,000 in floral arrangements for their donor events, for their fundraiser events. So that's not even including that. So the total would be over $110,000.
Okay, you're the one with the inside baseball knowledge here. The rumor, although it's a widely reported rumor, is that Ronna McDaniel is stepping down after the South Carolina primary. Is this because of you? Jennifer, did you do this?
I will definitely take some of the credit. I know from friends who were at Mar-a-Lago last week who spoke to Donald Trump that he has read my reports on this. I know that at the RNC winter meeting, last Wednesday morning, Ronna got up at a member breakfast and just shrieked about me and about Charlie Kirk and how my reporting was terrible and not accurate. And for days, she went on about how terrible my report was, had some of her lackeys send out letters. So I think by the reaction of Ronna, it definitely drew blood, and it could have been the catalyst. Because, you know, Luke, we've lost a lot of elections under her, and definitely she was under the microscope for that. And then this report comes out.
On the flip side, let's move away from the Republican side. The DNC, what are they doing with all the money they're bringing in? Is it all on limos and Topgolf nachos?
I could only find maybe, you know, $5,000 to $10,000 on limos. They are not. They're spending it on things like they're sending to their state parties. The DNC spent $10 million more to the state parties than the RNC did during this 13-month time frame that ended at the end of November. They spent a bunch on get out the vote texting. They're also sending money to the state parties for data, specifically for data, like another couple million. So yeah, they're working on the things that actually move the ball forward. Like they actually believe in the cause that they're working on.
Okay. Now let's rewind a little bit. It seems like, now granted, there's been a lot of stories and scandals since then. It seems like it was like 15 minutes ago and we had an election of sorts to decide who the head of the RNC was. This is after your original report, if memory serves me. We had, yes, Harmeet Dhillon, who is wonderful, and she got her doors blown off by Ronna. How did that happen?
Partly because Trump didn't come out and say anything for Harmeet. He had Susie Wiles, one of his main consultants, who was also being paid by the RNC at that time, go around and tell the national committeemen, hey, you know, President Trump would really like Ronna to stay. He didn't come out publicly and say that, but that was behind the scenes. Also, it's a weird kind of cult within these 168 members. A lot of them will not read my reporting because Ronna told them not to. And will say that she has all the answers to the questions I brought up and to not believe what I say, and that they shouldn't be letting any negative reporting about the RNC go out. So, and they follow this. It's insane. I don't know why they're in this position if they're not going to be independently looking at things.
All right. Finally, let's wrap this up. Michael Whatley. I keep hearing this name. I hear that Donald Trump wants him to run the RNC, whether he ends up running it or not. What do we know about this guy? Is this a good choice, bad choice?
I mean, if he's going to be a placeholder till January, I'm not going to complain too hard. But no, he's not a good choice. He rigged a election for his reelection as NCGOP chair using an app that had never been tested that people outside the room could log into the app and vote for him as NCGOP chair. And so there were people voting from Wisconsin or Wilmington that weren't in Greensboro at the event, which is where you have to be in the room. So I don't really trust him with election integrity things. I think that he's pretty much a crony.
Yeah, well, maybe he's the cheater we need. I'm kidding. Jennifer, thank you. I appreciate it. Keep going out there and getting it done. All right. Talk to Sean Spicer about this whole big old ugly mess. It is. Look, I'm happy Ron is gone or going, but it's getting late. It's an election year. It's February. It's a rough time to be switching things around. We'll talk to Sean, ask him why that matters at all. Before we talk to Sean, let me talk to you about the timeshare you think you're stuck in. I know. It sucks. The worst part about it is you want out. You can't ever get in. I know you can't ever get in because everyone's complaining about it now. I can't even schedule a time to get in. And the annual fees in some cases have doubled. You're stroking a check for a timeshare you don't want and can't ever use. Stop writing that check. Call Lone Star Transfer instead. They will legally and permanently get you out. They will set you free from that timeshare burden. But they can't do it unless you call them. When you call them, you understand they're going to guarantee it, right? In writing. They're going to give you a specific time frame. That's borderline cocky. 844-310-2646 or LoneStarTransfer.com. We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, there are things in politics that are weird, and there are things in politics that are embarrassing, and I'd probably put this Nikki Haley result from last night in here. So she had a primary of some kind in Nevada, and she got blown out by nobody. Apparently there's no one else on the ticket, and she still lost. Anyway, let's ask Sean about it. He knows all this stuff. Joining me now, Sean Spicer, host of the Sean Spicer Show, of course, Monday through Friday, right here, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Okay, Sean, there was a primary or a caucus and a primary, and Nikki Haley still sucks. What happened?
There was a primary, and let's face it, there was a primary. She didn't, the caucus is in another day. That's when the delegates are actually awarded, 26 of them at stake. She chose not to enter the caucus, but instead do what they refer to in politics sometimes as the beauty pageant. She wanted to go somewhere that she could get a vanity win, if you will, i.e. the primary, where there are no delegates at stake. Trump wasn't on the ballot. But as you pointed out, she didn't just lose to none of the other candidates. She lost 2-1. There were 24,000 people that spent time out of their day to go vote for not her, not someone else, literally just check a box that said no one on the list.
Okay, Sean, let's ask the question. I think you and I have talked. Yeah, go ahead.
One quick point, and I don't want to dismiss any actual threat or seem like I'm minimizing or condoning this, but on the same day that she asked the U.S. Secret Service for Secret Service protection, she gets walloped 2-1 in a campaign against none of the other candidates. I mean, I don't think that was the most compelling case to make when you're trying to talk about how strong your candidacy is and they get blown out of the water by no one else.
That is, ouch. All right, Sean, what's she still doing here? And obviously Trump's name being on the ballot, they're about to have oral arguments in front of SCOTUS on Thursday. Is that kind of the angle here? Is she angling for VP? Is she just kind of sticking around to see if Trump's going to have his presidential campaign ruined before it begins? What's she doing?
Well, I think you're asking the right question because no one can figure it out. Is she going to be the vice president? No. My dog has a higher probability of becoming the vice presidential nominee to Donald Trump than she does. So that's out of the question. The second is she hanging around because she thinks that there is some kind of political future for her? Absolutely not. When you lose to none of the other candidates by 2-1, that doesn't send a strong signal to donors, to activists, et cetera. Number three, does she think that maybe something happens to Trump catastrophically? Here's the problem in that argument. This isn't like if the governor dies or steps aside, the lieutenant governor becomes the person. If she doesn't, if Trump for some reason said, I want to go join the PGA and I'm not going to continue in this race, she doesn't by default become the nominee. It doesn't work like that. It would get thrown to the convention, and you can tell by the number of non-Republicans that are supporting her that she would not be the choice. So there is no logical reason to stay in unless the consultants around you, who frankly are probably making more and more money these days because of the increased left-wing contributions, are convincing you that there's this mythological path to the golden, treasure.
Sean, can you explain? I know it's a stupid question, but a lot of people have never been involved as deeply as you are in politics. This consultant thing, political consultant thing, who are these people? How do they make so much money? Why do they have influence? What are these people?
Well, not everyone makes a ton of money, but what you normally buy into on a campaign at the higher levels is a degree where you're taking maybe a retainer, a few thousand dollars a month, but then you get some kind of incentive bonus, a percentage of future earnings, if you will. If you make it to here, you get a bonus. If you raise this much money. So for example, it might be 10 or 15% of the fundraising. Well, again, she's bringing in a lot of fundraising money these days from these left-wing donors. If you're the fundraiser and you're getting 10 or 15% of the cut, or you're the ad buy guy and your firm is getting 10% of the ads, As soon as those ads stopped getting made or placed, as soon as the fundraising stops, your percentage goes away. So for a lot of these folks on a nascent campaign like a Nikki Haley, maybe they've, you know, let's call it, maybe they've sacrificed for the first few months because she wasn't going anywhere. Suddenly everybody dries out and money's coming in, and you finally see, you know, way off in the distance, the big prize. The last thing you're going to do is tell your candidate, drop out. This is when you're finally going to make some money.
Sean, let's change gears here. This Ronna McDaniel RNC situation. Resigning in an election year is not a small thing. It's a big thing. What's the story behind this? Is this a Trump-driven thing? Is she embarrassed? Is there a criminal probe coming down? There's a story behind this.
Yeah, my guess is that, look, I don't think there's anything nefarious here. I think that she knew that Trump wasn't happy. And as I tell people, look, when you work for Donald Trump, let's just say you start with $100. The money keeps going down, and you start to figure out sometimes it goes quicker than another until it reaches zero, and then you're done. And I think to some degree, some people realize that it's safer to get out earlier rather than later. So if you're Ronna McDaniel, you see the narrative. She's probably had a couple of conversations with Trump and or his key team. And she realizes that people aren't happy with the fundraising, with the operation itself. And the question is, do you want to get out while the getting's good? Or do you want to suffer until you're ultimately pushed out maybe 3, 4, 5 months later as you head into a convention? If I were her, I think that, look, she's taken a lot of heat. I will give her credit for this. Stepping out at this early stage in what looks like will be March is an opportunity for there to be plenty of time, plenty of runway for Trump and his team to get a team in, a leadership team at the RNC that they can work with. This is a necessary evil. The RNC has a thing called the Presidential Trust. It's somewhere in the neighborhood of $27 million. It can be coordinated directly with the candidate. They've got the fundraising apparatus, the data, the political ground, boots on the ground. It has to go well. It's an arranged marriage that has to go well in order to be successful. And I think that it was very honorable for Ronna to step aside and allow President Trump to have some influence over who he wants in there. But because you're right, if this had dragged on into the summer months up until the convention, I don't think it could have, it may not have ended so well.
Sean, the Cindy Adams of the New York Post came out and said, and I quote, well, from Michelle Obama, she's claiming that Michelle Obama told her, I plan to run. That combined with Joe Biden, well, here's a little clip of Joe Biden forgetting the name of Hamas.
And maybe choose my words. There's some movement, there's been a response from there's been a response from the opposition, but yes, I'm sorry, from Hamas, but it seems to be a little over the top. We're not sure where it is. There's a continuing negotiation right now.
Sean, your sources are better than my sources, but my sources tell me the only agony the Democrats are having right now is what to do with Kamala. And if it wasn't for Dome, they would have already kicked old Joe Biden to the curb.
Yeah, I mean, let's remember over the weekend, he claims to have had a conversation with French President Mitterrand, who passed away in 1996. But look, I will give Biden a lot of credit for one smart decision. When knowing where he was in his career, and you just played part of this, he chose somebody so unlikable like Kamala Harris that he knew that people would rather keep him than go to her. That was a brilliant move if you think about it in politics, because anybody else that's breathing right now would have been the person that everybody in the Democratic Party was looking to be their savior. He set himself up so that the replacement was worse than him. And that's the problem. They don't. The interesting thing about this is that the rules are such that until and unless he makes a decision or they make it for him at the convention, they're stuck with this guy.
But they can make that decision, can't they? Sean, now I realize that publicly he has to resign, of course, or announce he's not resign, but announce he's not running again. But they can just pick their candidate at the DNC if he does that, can't they?
In theory, except their delegates are their process is a little different than the Republicans. The Republican process, most of those delegates are what they call bound, meaning that you don't have a choice. If you are the Virginia delegate and Trump won, then you have to vote for him unless he abdicates those delegates. So Biden, I believe, under DNC rules, would have to at least acknowledge that he was releasing them is the way it works. But I think to your point, they could get to a situation where they'd say, you're going to lose. You've deteriorated so much between now and August, which is when their Chicago convention is, that you have to do the right thing. And that's where I see this. If this is going to happen, that's the scenario where enough of the elder statesmen, and I think in particular Jill Biden, has to come to him and say, let's find a way out that you can save face, help look like you're anointing your successor instead of getting kicked out.
Yeah, got it. Sean, I appreciate it. Everybody go subscribe to Sean's show. Apple, Spotify, Rumble, YouTube. Thank you, Sean. I appreciate it. All right. Lighten the Mood is next. Hang on.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. It is time to lighten the mood. And something occurred to me yesterday while I was thinking about everything that's going on in the world, everything we talked about tonight and last night and for weeks now, you know, border bail stuff and impeachment and culture war. And I mean, all this stuff's going on in the world. People aren't focusing enough on what really matters. And that happens a lot. It's easy to get distracted when everything is kind of blowing up around you. People need to be focused more now on me. I'm what really matters. After all, have you seen my dance moves? Maybe I'll give some lessons here on the show. I'm a world famous author, top five napper, builder of sheds. I'm the menu whisperer. Somebody said, just a random person, said, "Hey, Jesse, just emailing to say you're the man. Award-winning radio, Grammy-worthy TV." I thought the TVs were the TV was Emmys. Anyway, and a world-famous author. Talk about a triple threat. I could go on, but you know, I know your time is valuable. You're so handsome. I wish I could look half as good as you. Can't wait till you become dictator and make the Anti-Communist Manifesto a mandatory reading. Looking forward to naming my firstborn after you. I'll leave you with this haiku about your greatness. Jesse's wisdom glows. Political savant's prose, leading with grace flows. Signed, Anonymous. I don't know who sent that in. I have no idea. I mean, we'll never be able to track him down, but he has wonderful taste. I'll see you tomorrow.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.